Good morning. If I was at the office and I was to call a meeting, I wouldn't have this many to show up today. So y'all doing something right here. So Pastor Billy and the church family, it's an honor to be with y'all today. I did want to recognize some other first responders. I think, Mr. Billy, they might have been the first responders. If all of our veterans would stand up this morning, I want to recognize y'all as first responders. Any of our veterans? Amen. Thank y'all for your service. Thank y'all. Mr. Robert Boyette back here with the Veterans Service, the head man at Smithfield. Good to see you, Robert. Thank you, veterans. It's because of your sacrifice and commitment that we can assemble today in God's house and worship. Thank y'all again. You know, I do want to thank y'all for recognizing our first, responders, EMS, fire. I saw some of the chiefs here, my friends with the highway patrol here. It don't matter what kind of uniform you got on, whether it's if you're from the fire department wearing a coat, or if you're from EMS wearing that uniform, or Benson 5210 West Johnston Elevation, whatever uniform you're wearing or wherever you are coming from, these men and women thank you when it's tough out there and they happen to turn around and they need some backup. When we see y'all, we are all as one. It don't matter what uniform that you're wearing. Before I get started today, I do want to recognize Marty Benson and Danny Allen. Danny is not with us this morning. Marty, will you stand again? Marty Benson was a deputy when I was a young deputy. Marty Benson was a deputy sheriff when I was sheriff, when I became sheriff. Marty was one of the first meetings that I had in December of 1998 was with all the deputies. And Marty Benson stood at the back of that meeting and stood up and said, "We got a new sheriff. We all need to get behind him." And Marty, I will never forget that. Benson Grove, you have put some good folks at the courthouse. Thank you for your leadership. Folks like Marty Benson that mentored was a blessing to others. I've seen Marty speak to some of these young officers back in the day, Marty. And thank you, Marty, for all you've done. Benson Grove has sent some good ones. Matt Dupree, Marty Benson, Danny Allen, Brian Clifton. That's still a work in the making. And I'm kidding, Brian. But I do want to thank y'all for all that y'all do. And thank you again. Before I get started today, I got an individual with me today that don't get to come with me a lot because I feel like when she is with me, I'm talking to everybody, shaking hands, and I get to look at her like I did out in the lobby, and she's standing in the corner waiting for me to get back. My wife, Jennifer. If you'll stand, Jennifer. Thank you. Now, when we're at the house and it's 1:30 in the morning and I get a call from the captain, and I get my phone, I sit on the side of the bed, and it's Brian Clifton. He'll say, "Sheriff, the safety team's working again. The highway patrol is in a chase. They've crossed the county line into Wake, and our deputies have stayed with them. Sheriff, you ain't gonna believe this. They're on Hillsborough Street in Raleigh." And my wife had to hear all that. When I get a call from the detective division, the captain, or the chief deputy at 3:00 in the morning and says, "Sheriff, you ain't gonna believe this. We just got a call. There's a man on the phone that says, I'm at my house with my 3-year-old son. I've killed 4 of my kids. They're in the trunk of the car in my garage. I need a deputy out here." My wife has to hear all that. And I want to thank her this morning because there's a lot of times I wake her up during the night when I know she wants to pop me in the head. And then she gets to asking me about it. And then she said, "I'm going to pray for her." That speaks volumes, folks. So thank you, Jennifer. I want to talk about, I often say it takes a special of an individual to work at the funeral home. I don't want to do that job, but somebody's got to do it. It takes a special individual to be a deputy sheriff, a law enforcement officer, a state trooper, a fireman, EMS worker, a detention officer, and a dispatcher. It takes a special person to do that. I'm going to just give you a scenario. The firemen, they go to these accident scenes. I see my buddy over here, the chief of Benson. They go to these fire scenes, and there's a man and his wife and the 3 of the kids sitting out on the front The house is on fire, and right before their eyes, they're losing everything that they have ever accumulated. These guys are there to do a job. They do a job well, but it works on them because we're human too. And you got the EMS folks. They arrive on a scene. They get somebody in the back of the truck. They were on the way to Wake Med to the trauma center. They get off of 540, and while they're on the exit ramp, they witness folks, people like you and I, taking their last breath. And they got to go home, and they got to live with that. They got to go home to their families and their kids, sometimes their elderly family members, and they have to live with that. State guys back here, the troopers, accident scenes, they see fatalities, and they got to go and notify a family. Then they got to go home to their family. Sergeant, thank you and all you guys do. I would be remiss if I didn't say, remember the trooper's family that died in the line of duty last night, right down 95 in Robeson County, while working last night, died in a motor vehicle accident, protecting and serving the people. So let's remember that family this morning also. So I do want to tell y'all, we're blessed in Johnston County to have the firefighters, EMS, dispatchers, detention officers, our deputies, other law enforcement officers. We got some good ones, y'all. So now I'm going to get to the reason I'm with y'all today. I got a call a few weeks ago from my buddy here, and he said, Sheriff, I'm going to talk like, you know, Brother Billy. Sheriff, this would be your buddy over here at McGee's Cross, Brother Billy Cash. Well, listen, we want to do Law Enforcement Appreciation Day. We want to invite you and the Sheriff's Department to come. I said, Brother Billy, we will do that. I'll get with Brian and Matt, and we'll get some folks lined up, and we'll be there. Thank y'all for showing up today. And everything was going fairly well. I can tell you exactly where I was at going down the road. I was fixing to be at a stop sign, and I had a Mento in my mouth. And everything with that was going fairly well. And then Billy said, Sheriff, we want you to be the guest speaker. I like to squalor my Mento. But anyhow, we've been friends a long, long time. But and we got to talking about, I said, well, Brother Billy, you got any idea what you may want me to speak about? He said, well, I'm going to leave that up to you, Brother Steve. And so I said, I'm going to call you back at the end of the week, and I did. And I shared with you what I was going to say today. Not all of it, but I want to talk to y'all about how I've been blessed as sheriff to be able to help others. And I think in the conversation, you pretty much said, Steve, tell us how you've been able, and the sheriff's department, to help others since you've been sheriff. So if I had a title this morning, I would probably say The Goodness of God. That would be my title today. But before I go any further, I want to ask y'all, has God been good to y'all? If you have, if he has, raise your hand. All righty. I see three that didn't raise their hand. We're going to pray for y'all. No, I'm kidding. So I want to tell you about some incidences that I have encountered. One of them about 5 months ago, I went in, and I'm not your regular government guy that oversees a government agency. I work. I'm there with the guys. I want to be there. I want to be a part of them. I want to be just one of the guys. You know, I want to, when I see Mike the captain, or I see John or Meredith, I don't look like I'm the boss. I want to be a co-worker. I want to be one of them. I don't want to stand out. I want to stand even and equal. But I came in the other day, and it had been on my mind. There was a guy in our jail that was a detention officer had said, Sheriff, I'm going to be leaving you. I've got another job lined up. I'm going to be leaving in about 3 weeks. And I was struggling on this guy. I mean, his job was to oversee the trustees. The trustees are the inmates that have been entrusted to sweep the floor, to work in the kitchen, to work in the laundry room and all that. And it takes a special individual to do that job. So I came in and I went to the chief deputy. I said, Jeff, if you will you call over to the jail and ask the chief jailer to come over and see me and get the administrative director. I want to meet with y'all in the conference room. And I hadn't spoke to Jeff about this. It was just on my mind. So we went in, the chief jailer walked in, and he said, Sheriff, everything good? I said, everything good. I said, look, we got this guy going to be leaving. I said, I got somebody on my mind. I want to go ahead and get in that position. It's going to be a promotion. And I told him the name. And he said, oh. He said, man, I don't want to lose her. She's a good worker. I don't want to lose her on a on a 12-hour shift, because she'll be going to a Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. I said, yep. I said, but I'm going to tell you, JJ, I said, she's my pick. And I said, Miss Dublin, Angela right here works with Miss Dublin. I said, is she working today by chance? JJ said, yes, she is. I said, would you call her, you know, to come over here? And he said, he looked at his watch. He said, well, she should be on the way back from lunch. And it was about a 11:45. So he called her and she said, I'm crossing 95. I'll be right there. So I said, well, you go out and get her, bring her in the side door. He did. Now, Miss Dublin is a black lady, sweet lady. We hired her. She worked at Roses in Smithville. She came to with us about a year and 9 months ago, I think it was. And she walked in. As she walked in the conference room, there was me, the chief deputy, the administrative director, and the chief jailer. And she said, oh, my goodness, Sheriff, what's wrong? I said, Miss Dublin, there ain't nothing wrong. I said, everything's right. I said, have you a seat, young lady. She sat down. I said, Miss Dublin, I said, we got a guy that's leaving, and I want to promote you to this job. And she said, you sure everything's all right? I said, Miss Dublin, everything's good. I said, you're here because you're doing everything right. And I said, I want to promote you to this 8-to-5 job overseeing the trustees. And she started crying. And I said, Miss Dublin, if the time is not right for you, we can do this later, but you're my choice. And I said, are you okay? She said, Sheriff, you ain't going to believe this. So I just told y'all all of that to tell you this. She said, I went to church Sunday. And after the service, I told the preacher I wanted to talk to him. And I told him, I want you to pray for me, Pastor. My husband's dementia has worsened and I can no longer work a 12-hour shift and work Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night. I can no longer leave him for that long. Pastor, will you pray that I get me an 8-to-5 Monday through Friday job? Now, I looked around and the chief deputy, you know, he got the muscle and he tried to be tough and all that. His eyes were watered. I looked at the administrative director. She was crying. The chief jailer, he just started going to church a few months ago, and he was smiling so big like a mule eating briars. I don't think he understood what was really going on. But I'm going to tell you who did understand. That was Miss Dublin and me. And she said, Sheriff, I can't wait to get back to church. She said, I just talked to the pastor Sunday after the service. I assumed it was probably about 12:15. And so here we are within 48 hours later. I ain't nobody. But apparently God must have spoke to me and put my mind to Miss Dublin, and it happened. So just want y'all to know I'm blessed to be in a position to bless others. Now, my next story is fairly lengthy, and the reason it is because I've got to show you some certain things in this next story that is of divine intervention. Keep in mind my title today, The Goodness of God. So does anybody here from the Benson? Chief, I'm going to ask you, Chief from the Fire Department of Benson, what do you know happens in Benson on the fourth weekend in September every year? Mule days, right? So in the fourth Saturday in September of 2024, I got the chief deputy. I said, I'm going to ride in the parade. Matter of fact, Miss Denise was there. I saw you and your husband and your family. But we went at the breakfast that morning that the chamber does for the elected officials, and they introduced little Miss Benson and the teen Miss Benson and Miss Benson. And we were there that morning, and the mayor, which was Jerry Medlin at the time, he got up to pray over the meal that morning, and he said, let's don't forget the folks in Western North Carolina that have lost everything they had. The hurricane had just hit. And I had been thinking about that also. But anyhow, I rode through the parade. We were on the way back. And then, now, I'm telling you just like I remember it from yesterday. We came riding through the town of Four Oaks. Benji was driving. I was the pastor in the Bearcat. And that's, you know, that armored vehicle that bounces. And we went under that second stoplight. I remember it that precise. And I said, Benji, I feel led to start a donation drive. I said, what do you think? He said, which call me boss man. He says, well, boss man, you know, we've got a whole lot going on right now. He said, but I will tell you this, if you feel led, you need to do it. That was all that was said about it. We got on the Smithfield. We put the barricade up. I got in my vehicle. I went home. I walked in the house. I remember it this precise. My wife was in the bathroom and was getting ready to go shoplifting. Shopping. I'm kidding. And I went in, and I didn't walk all the way in the bathroom. There's a hallway before you walk in the bathroom. And I said to her, I feel led to start a donation drive. And I didn't want to go in the bathroom because I didn't want her to see me emotional. And guess what she said? The same thing the chief deputy did. If you feel led, you need to do it. So that was my cue. I said, you know what? This thing's for real. I go in, I call the county manager. I said, hey, Rick, I'm going to start a donation drive. I want you and the commissioners on board. I said, we need to help the folks in Western North Carolina. He said, you may want to, you know, to call the chairman. I got off. I called the chairman. I said, Mr. Lauder, I said, I'm going to start a donation drive to help the people in Western North Carolina. I said, my goal is to fill up one 40-foot tractor trailer. I want to fill up one trailer. Keep in mind, my goal was one trailer. Thank you. And so I called the chairman and I said, here's what I want to do. The chairman says, Steve, you know the commission will support you on that. I said, I'm not asking y'all to do anything. We're going to do the work. I just want to be able to say that the county commissioners support this. He said, well, let me ask you this. Where are you going to get the tractor trailer? Well, I'd just been thinking about this for about an hour. And I said, Butch, I don't know. I said, but I'll find one. And he said, we're on board. I'm going to call the other commissioners right now. But anyhow, I got off the phone. I called my buddy, the mayor from the town of Pine Level. I said, Jeff, Sheriff, buddy, you doing all right? He said, Sheriff, I'm doing fine. He said, me and my family is vacationing in Hawaii. I said, I know you got some trucks. He owns Airflow there in Selma. And he said, yeah, Steve, I got 20. I said, I only need one. I said, Jeff, I'm going to do my donation drive for Western North Carolina. I need a truck and I'm a trailer, and I'm going to need a driver to go somewhere in the mountains. I don't know yet. I said, but I feel led to do this. Jeff is a Christian man. And he said, Steve, if you feel led, he said, I want to be a part of it. He said, I'll furnish you the truck, the trailer, the driver, the fuel. It ain't going to cost you nothing. I will have you, so you want to start on Monday? I said, yes, this was Saturday. He said, I will have you a truck on Monday morning. So anyhow, I called the county manager back. We got the guy with the county to fix a flyer up. We're going to do this. We're going to start Monday at 12 o'clock. Now, this is Saturday. We're going to start Monday at 12 o'clock. We advertised the things that we wanted and all that. And anyhow, we started on Monday at 12 o'clock. Stuff started rolling in at 9:30. As you earlier said, Billy, my dad was a Pentecostal minister. And in his later years there in the ministry, was an evangelist. And there was a sermon he used to preach, and it was, you can't outgive God. And in that sermon, he would say, when God gets involved, you just aware to get out of the way. And I'm going to get back to that in a minute. So Monday, here come the folks started lining up. We had put up a tent. People started lining up to bring stuff at 9:30. A lot of the deputies here worked in that line. At one time, we had 35 employees at the sheriff's office, emergency management, 911, that were down there assisting us. But the stuff started rolling in, and it started rolling in. On the second day, we had a church, a Baptist church from Richmond, Virginia, to come driving up with a truckload. And of course, you know, I was in line wanting to thank everybody and shake their hand and all that. And it got so big, I had to get out of the way. And in the video you're going to show in a few minutes, you'll see me on the forklift because I had to get out of the way because it was just so overwhelming. So next thing I turned around and looked, and here was a big rescue truck from Wake Med. They opened up the back doors. You remember it. The nurses at Wake Med had filled up. I'm talking about one of these big rescue units, and it was full. And people started coming and coming and coming. We ended up having to call some farmers and get watermelon bins and pallets, and we brought a second truck. So I'm just going to leave it at that, and I'm going to give you the rest of the story. The rest of the story is we loaded 16 tractor trailers in 5 days and raised $50,000 cash. So I called up to emergency management there at our office, and I said, I'd like to speak to Kevin. They said, well, Kevin, the emergency director, is in the mountains. So I called him on his cell phone, and he says, "Steve, we're in Hendersonville, North Carolina. I'm up here with Sandy, and we're working with the National Guard to try to set up a warehouse to receive stuff." I didn't know Kevin was up there. Do you think that just happened to have happened? No, that's that divine intervention. So next thing I knowed, we had 4 tractor trailer loads ready to go on Wednesday. Keep in mind, we actually started Monday at lunch. We ended up carrying 16 to Hendersonville to the warehouse that Kevin and them had set up. I went to the mountains 4 times in 10 days, 16 total tractor trailer loads. We started, folks started writing checks and giving money. I said I wanted to load 1 truck, y'all. I hadn't said nothing about raising no money. But let me tell you this, though. So we had worked all week on Sunday. My wife and I went to church, and we came home. We drove in the yard, and I said, "There's an envelope on my vehicle." So I went and got it off. I opened it up, and there was a letter in it. "Steve, please give this to the man that's furnishing the trucks to offset the cost of fuel." A check for $6,000. That didn't just happen, y'all. That's divine intervention number 2. We kept going. We got ready to go to the mountains with the second load. And I got a letter faxed to our office and I made my notes, from the State Emergency Management and the Colonel of the Highway Patrol. Get this now. "Giving permission for the Johnston County Sheriff's Office convoy to enter into any restricted areas in our state to deliver those critical life-sustaining relief supplies." The Colonel of the Highway Patrol and the guy that was over the State Emergency Management pretty much said, "Bypass the scales, go wherever you need to go. I know it's coming, I've heard good things, bring it on." We went to the warehouse the first day in Hendersonville, North Carolina, and we backed up those 4 tractor trailers, backed up at that warehouse. And I went in, I got with the guy with the National Guard. When I walked in that warehouse, it was a big warehouse. We had more stuff in those 4 trucks than they had in the warehouse. And they started clapping when we started unloading, because people were coming from 6 of the devastated areas, I'm talking about counties, to come and get the stuff. We were unloading it off of our truck, or the National Guard was, loading it right on trucks to go out into the affected areas. I guess the moral of the story is, you better be willing to be obedient. And I was. I never thought, rolling under that stoplight at Four Oaks, talking to the chief deputy about, "I'm gonna start a donation drive." 16 tractor trailer loads. So anyhow, we got all this money coming in. We were carrying it up there every day to the finance director. And so we had a little meeting of what we're gonna do with this money. I said, "I think we give it to Samaritan's Purse. I'm reading it, where they're doing all these good things up in, you know, the devastated areas." And everybody agreed. So I got a call from a guy in Smithfield, a businessman. He said, "Steve, I understand that y'all gonna be donating the money that was raised to Samaritan's Purse." He said, "May I ask how much y'all got?" Well, I had said in the meeting at the county manager's office, we were at $47,800-something. I said, "Rick, I would love to be able to raise a little bit more to make it even $50,000. This guy called and said, "How much have you got?" And I told him. He said, "Well, you come over here to my office and you get somebody to write it down on a piece of paper. I'm going to write you a check to make it even $50,000. Divine intervention. I went over there. He wrote a check. I carried it straight up there and I said, "Hey, we got our $50,000. So it gets better, y'all. I called the sheriff of Watauga County in Boone, North Carolina. I said, "Sheriff, do you happen to know anybody at Samaritan's Purse that is in Boone?" He said, "Steve, I went to military school with Edward Graham, which is Billy Graham's grandson. He's got an office, that's Franklin Graham's son, and he's got an office in Samaritan's Purse. I'll call him right now. He will call you in 30 minutes. In about 20 minutes, guess what? Phone rung. And it was Edward Graham. I got to talking to Edward. He said, "The sheriff said you wanted to call. Y'all had done a donation drive." I hadn't told the sheriff of Watauga County how much money it was, other than we had collected some money. And he said, "So Sheriff Bizzle," he said, "now you say Johnston County, so you're calling from Johnston County. I said, yes, sir. He said, is that Smithfield? I said, yes, sir. He said, well, you know, my daddy is Franklin Graham, and my mama is from Smithfield. She was born right down the street from the courthouse on 2nd Street. And matter of fact, her name is Jane Austin. She was some kin to Jack Austin and all them from Four Oaks. He said, but my mama was born and raised right down from the courthouse in Smithfield. When they find out that you've entrusted what y'all collected on the donation drive to Samaritan's Purse, keep in mind, he said, that word stays in my mind, that we had entrusted Samaritan's Purse and the Graham family with our donation. I said, wherever we got a check for $50,000, he said, oh my goodness. He said, listen, I want to set a time when Mama and Daddy are going to be here, because if you're coming from Smithfield, they're going to want to meet y'all. So myself and the chief deputy, we went, we carried a check, and Franklin Graham was there, his wife was there, Edward Graham was there. They invited us in the Samaritan's Purse. So I just want to tell y'all, I could sit up here and tell y'all story after story after story. And I know the deputies here today have heard things that they've never heard before. I'm looking at Meredith that's shaking her head like, I can't believe this. But there's a lot that goes on. I get to help people every day. I have folks to call, and I have the pastors to call and say, Miss Joyce is 85 years old. She's in my church, and she broke down this morning, wants me to come speak with her grandson that's in jail. Marty, you remember when you were the jail administrator, we always made a way for stuff like that. And but I'm honored and blessed to be in a position to be able to say, Pastor, come on. So when you see me as sheriff, you don't think about all this stuff that goes on behind the scenes. You don't see it on WRL. You don't read it on Joco Report. That's what I like about being sheriff, being in a position to be obedient and helping others. But I do want to close with this. As your sheriff, I am blessed beyond measure to have the quality men and women that you see that's sitting here, and not only the ones in uniform, but also their spouses. I'm blessed to be able to look and see the fire chiefs here, the firemen here, the EMS workers that would have been here, but it's a busy time. I know y'all, you call for services more than ever. Ours is. Sometimes I wonder who's going to do this job after we all retire, like, you know, Marty did back there. But I guess God will raise up another generation to follow right, you know, behind our footsteps. But I could go on and on, tell you story after story after story. The two I told you today were specific for you today. I will tell you in closing, really. I woke up the other night, and I shared this with Billy. I woke up the other night. I'd been struggling. What in the world am I going to say they're going to want to hear? And I woke up and got out of bed. I tried to be quiet. I went and got in the recliner, and I started writing. And what I have shared with you today is what was laid on me to write. She woke up, and she walked in there and said, what are you doing? I think it was about 2:30 in the morning when I was writing this. And I said, I'm preparing my message for Benson Grove Church. She turned around and went on back to bed. So I'm telling y'all today, thank you. It's folks like that is in this church. I call y'all the middle class, hardworking, family, church-going folks. The troopers, the deputies, the firemen. Y'all are the people we love to serve. We don't love serving for the drunk drivers and the people that are breaking and entering and stealing and raping and killing. We don't really enjoy serving them, but we enjoy serving y'all because we are empowered to keep your community safe. So when you see a deputy and a trooper, a fireman and an EMS worker, I want you to think that I told you today. Just say thank you. Sometimes we're out there by ourselves, and I know riding at night, 1, 3 o'clock in the morning and it raining, and the deputy drove up at a fire station just to get off the road because it's raining so hard. Their wife and the kids is at the house in the bed, and they're sitting there thinking, why do I do this? I could be at home in the bed with my wife and kids, and I go back to this. It's a calling. And in Johnston County, firemen, deputies, troopers, police officers, EMS, we got some of the best of the best. Brother Billy, thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak this morning to your congregation. And again, I remember when my dad was a minister, I had to go to church all the time. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. When he started preaching revivals, I had to go every night. And I remember saying, if I ever get 18 years old, I ain't never going to church no more. And I remember riding in the back of that old Rambler station wagon. Some of these young folks don't know what a Rambler is. We didn't even have to wear seatbelts back then. But I remember riding in that old Rambler station wagon. And I used to pray on the way after my dad's service. I used to pray, Lord, I'd be back there, I'm whispering, you know, I'm talking to the Lord. I'd say, Lord, I don't know what your plans are for me, but I don't want to be no minister. I don't want to be a preacher like my daddy. And then I was saying the whole time, but by the way, when I get 18, I'm out of here. But anyhow, I don't even feel worthy to be in the pulpit where you stand and bring the word the other day, but I appreciate the opportunity to stand here today. And I know that when I come to God's house that I'm on holy ground, and I don't want to abuse that, and I hope I have made you proud today, Brother Billy. Thank you.